today on Real Radio.
But once you receive forgiveness, they believe now that you work to keep God's grace in your life and you work at keeping the law to keep His acceptance and approval. And how do I tell you, my heart breaks for any of you in here this morning that are bound in that kind of confusion.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Compromise or Just Being Wise, continues a series now called the Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. Many years have gone by since the Apostle Paul first began his missionary journeys. He was committed to spreading the gospel to the Gentile world. And now, Paul is ready for the end of his mission. In the message called What is God's Will for Your Life from Acts chapter 21, we learned that God's true will for Paul's life and for ours is found in God's Word. Going back to Jerusalem meant certain death for Paul, so his companions and friends desperately warned him not to go. But Paul knew God's purpose for his life. He'd already counted the cost, and in good conscience and with peace in his heart, he stayed the course. Now in verses 15 through 26 of Acts chapter 21, we find Paul arriving in Jerusalem for the last time. His friends and companions are with him, and God's hand was truly upon Paul with a passion to see that his Jewish brethren would come to the Lord. Today, on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that Paul discovers that the Jewish believers were still bound in religious law, legalism, and confusion. They believed in Christ, but they were lost in a performance-based relationship with Him. So Paul shares how trying to keep the law is our flesh at war with our spirit. It's only by faith and through God's grace that we can be forgiven and have fellowship with Him. And now, continuing his lesson called Compromise or Just Being Wise, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
This is the James that is the half-brother of Jesus Christ himself. They bring Paul in before him, and look, he's to give them the details. And this is a fun thing. When he recounts the details, people, get a load of this. He's been gone for years. And he's to recount the details. The word in the Greek means step by step, line by line. Okay, Paul, sit down. Tell us what happened. And he starts in the very beginning of all the ministry, up until this moment of him being together with James. And isn't it interesting, people? In your lap is the book of Acts, where 14 of the New Testament books probably were written by Paul. Hebrews, I think, was written by Paul. Isn't it interesting that for nearly 20 years, the Holy Spirit who wrote the book of Acts follows the life of Paul rather than James in the Jerusalem church where it all began? Isn't that interesting? Why the missionary work? Why not the home church activity? God was telling us something. God was showing us something in the life of Paul. And James says, now tell us everything. So Paul begins to recount from the very, very beginning. And this is kind of neat. All that God had done, all that had happened, all that it meant, even up until this moment of Paul and James being together. Do you live like that? I want to live like this more and more every day. People, get a grip on this. It'll bless your life. When we get depressed, now I know there's a lot of psychologists that tell us we're not going to be healthy until we look back and deal with our past. I don't buy it. Unless you take your past and insert it right into the presence of Jesus Christ. He's the God of the past, present, and future. But watch this. If I look back over my non-Christian past, I can start to give God thanks. I remember going down Garden Grove Boulevard at Lampson in the fog when that Jeep ran that red light and almost clipped us, going very, very fast. But he missed us. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't even know who Jesus was. I can remember that time when I was in high school swimming in Lake Arrowhead at midnight and trying to swim across at one point and getting so bothered because the bats kept swooping down at my head that I tired myself out trying to swat the bats rather than tread water. And I almost drowned. And I got to the shore, and the next day my lungs were so sore from exhaling and inhaling. I was so near drowning. Thank you, God. I didn't even know who God was. I think back to my life when I found out, and there's no trauma here unless you think I'm traumatized, that due to some circumstances in my home, I was an abortion attempt. And the abortion failed. And the doctor closed up my mother and kept me in there for a while. Because out of desperation and fear, that was attempted on my life and it didn't work. Thank you, God. I didn't even know who he was. I was just a little sinner, a little infant, you know, baby in the womb. I thank God for what he's done. You can step back over your life in the past and say, oh, God, thank you. Paul recounts the past. And if you recount the past, you can start thanking God for things that have happened. Gosh, if this wouldn't have happened, then I wouldn't have had this thing. And I thought this was the end of the world, but look what came out of it. And God, you've been in my life all along. It's an ungrateful heart that can't look back and see God in the middle of it all. Paul looks back and what a life, what a ministry, what a beautiful thing. Gosh, James, you know what? I tell you what, we got on a ship and it was rough sailing, got off and we began to preach in Antioch and thousands of people accepted the Lord just on the first day. And he had to recount all these things. You know what? I bet you, Paul, he's sitting in a chair and he begins to kind of float a little bit in the room. So blessed. Recounting all that God had done. And the longer we walk with Jesus, the more we can praise him for all that he's done. Psalm 143, verse 5 says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I muse on the work of your hands. Gosh, that's so true in our lives. Last week after second service, it was so strange, you guys. I was out there in the foyer, parking lot. And between second and third, my eyes are failing fast. I used to have great eyeballs, great vision until I've been spending my life now in front of the computer. And I looked and I thought I saw two people from the past. And I looked again and kind of, you know, you close one eye. Is that really them? And I'm looking and they're coming closer. And I'm talking with somebody. And so I just, well, I must be hallucinating. I'm talking and I'm looking at them. And then I heard this voice say, it sounds like him, but it sure doesn't look like him. Well, believe me, the last time I saw these people, that was a tremendous insult. I had hair on my head and I was buffed and now it's kind of falling around the waist and I watch my hair go down the drain daily. And I looked and it was Roger and Leah. And they started getting tears in their eyes and I looked and I thought, uh-oh. My gosh, they've known me since I was 6 years old. We grew up, our house was exactly opposite their house. We grew up and didn't see them for about 13 years until last Sunday. And they sat in service and Roger sat right almost in the middle, right where you're at, and he just cried during the service, during third service. And then afterwards, we didn't leave the church till 3:30. And what he was saying was, you know, I can't believe it's you. I mean, the last time I saw you, you were pulling pigtails and you stuttered so bad and all I can remember is you laughing all the time. I can't believe it's you. And he starts crying and I'm all getting all shook up. And you know what? A blast from the past, man. And it was a blessing. And Paul recounts the past and there's blessings in the past. God's hand was with them. God had blessed his past, and God has blessed your past. God is good to us. The second thing I want you to see in verses 20 to 23 is that the church of Christ was bound in legalism. Paul was flying high, and watch what happens. Talk about pouring ice water on him, quenching out the parade. Look at the middle of verse 20. And they said to him, you see, now they're responding to Paul. They all glorified God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that's great. And you can almost see James stroking his beard. Oh, man, how do we tell Paul about this stuff? And they said to him, you see, brother, how many myriads, thousands upon thousands of Jews there are who, listen, in your Bible, mark it, who have believed, circle believed, and they are zealous for the law. Wait, we got a problem here. They believe and they're zealous for the law. We have a problem. Verse 21, but they have been informed about you, that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children or walk according to the customs. Paul never said that, people. That's a lie. It's an absolute lie and gossip. Paul never said to the Jewish believers, forsake Moses, stop circumcising your children, and don't keep the customs. He never said that. He said that circumcision and keeping the customs can't save you. You see the difference, people? Everybody wake up now and catch this, because now all that was introduction. Now's the point. Paul was reciting to them the grace of God in the preaching of the gospel. They're stroking their beard saying, Paul, you see how many myriads of believers are here now? And by the way, they're very fond of the law. Paul had to stroke his beard for a minute and say, they believe, but they're fond of the law? I thought Jesus came to free us from the law. I thought Jesus came to set us free from the law. Jot this down in your margin. The book of Romans and the book of Galatians had already been written at this point. If you know anything about those books, those are treaties on God's grace over the law. The church of Christ was bound in legalism. Listen, people, legalism breeds confusion. Jot it down. Confusion, misunderstanding, and division. Not to mention pride. We're going to look at them right here. Second part of verse 20. They were bound by confusion. You see, brother, how many myriads of Jews there are who have believed, and they are all zealous for the law. What they believed was this, people, that you can become a Christian by the grace of God. You receive Christ by grace. It's a free gift. Oh, yes, we believe that. But once you receive forgiveness, they believe now that you work to keep God's grace in your life, and you work at keeping the law to keep His acceptance and approval. And how do I tell you, my heart breaks for any of you in here this morning that are bound in that kind of confusion. I came to Christ. Remember the day you accepted Christ? Oh, glorious day. Oh, happy day. When Jesus washed my sins away. Remember that song? Who sang that song anyway? Oh, happy day. When Jesus washed my sins away. It's true. Oh, happy day. And then a couple of months, maybe a year, maybe two into your Christian experience, you've gotten all bogged down with legalism. I don't feel accepted anymore. Why? I'm just not praying like I ought. Okay. What does that have to do with acceptance? What does that have to do with salvation? You see, we are guilty of the same thing. They believed in Jesus Christ, but they were fond of the law. And how many ministries, how many churches want you to come forward and accept Christ, go back into the room and get indoctrinated into the rules and regulations of a church, and send you out that back door into the world in a performance-grounded relationship with God? And can I say it gently, most as gently as I can? It's a hideous, disgusting perversion on the grace of God and salvation. And that's gentle. When you think of Jesus dying on the cross and being shred open for our sins, God's Son bleeding to death on a cross because we couldn't save ourselves, all to Him we owe, sin had left its crimson stain, but He washed it as white as snow. To accept that free gift and then say, okay, I got it from here, God. Thank you very much. I'll take care of it. is an abomination to him. You and I have friends who won't step foot in a church. I don't blame them. I don't blame them at all. They've got a rotten taste. As long as I'm pastoring in this place, may we never, ever get into this thing about what you can do for God. Oh, sign up, brother, and see what you can do for God. No, no. It's open up your arms, brother, and receive what Jesus Christ has done for you. He set you free. Paul said to the church at Galatia, you ought to write this down, chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. He says, O foolish Chinohilians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Well, it was by faith. Are you so foolish then to have begun in the Spirit that you are now going to be made perfected in the flesh? Salvation, the law, the believer. This was settled way back in Acts chapter 15. Remember the vision? Peter was waiting for dinner to get done. He goes on top of the roof. He's sleeping. Remember that? Beautiful day near the beach. Caesarea, he's sleeping. Falls asleep. And there's an air vent and they're cooking. And the vent's blowing and there's fish tacos cooking up. Great. Flaky, white fish. Salsa going. They got the tortillas out there. It's perfect. Peter's sleeping and you can see the aroma going across his nose and he starts to dream. And he's dreaming and he sees in heaven now this, in the sky, this big sheet comes down and he looks inside, looks over the sheet. And looks around and all these animals are running around inside the sheet. I mean, a smorgasbord, man. Turkeys running by. You know, rabbits going by. All these things going by. And there's cows going by. And he's going, man, I'm starving. And then this pig runs by. And Peter goes, oh my gosh. That thing's unclean. Oh, I mean, the whole lunch is unclean because there's a pig in the middle of the thing. Kosher guy that he was. And God says, hey, Peter, don't call anything that I've made unclean. Go ahead and eat. Oh, not so, Lord. I'm not going to eat anything unclean. I said, don't call anything I've made unclean. Rise up and eat it. This happened to Peter 3 times. He's a typical guy. Got to get it in there 3 times. I told you 3 times. And the answer comes to Peter. God has provided salvation for all people. He's created them all. Don't call anyone who's black or white or green or polka dot unclean. They're all mine. And Peter, you can do regarding food whatever's necessary, man. I've made them all. They're to be enjoyed and received with thanks. Isn't that what Jesus said to us? Jesus in John 4:14 said, but whosoever drinks of the water that he will give shall never thirst again. What on earth did he mean? But the water that I shall give you shall become a fountain or torrent or torrential waters springing up from your innermost life. Waters. Jesus gives us a drink of water and we'll never thirst again. What does that mean? It's spiritual talk. You take a drink of Christ and nothing else in the world will satisfy your thirst like Jesus. In John chapter 6, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me shall never hunger, but he who believes in me shall never thirst. Never thirst, never hunger. Come to Jesus. Same thing that he's talking to Peter. But those who seek to keep the law, listen, if that's you this morning and you're bound in legalism, your spiritual life will forever be retarded, people. You'll never grow. If you're trying to keep the law and meet the church's demands and regulations and walk in grace. You know what? You go to Home Depot and you buy some fertilizer and you put it in the dirt. And you prepare it. You put your stuff in there. and add a little Miracle-Gro. And I guarantee you, my flower in the pot of Miracle-Gro is going to grow better than yours that's got just sand. Because everything there is present for it to grow healthy. You and I will not grow unless grace is understood in our lives. If you're legalistic, you're going to be bound up. You and I will fail, just like Billy Graham and John Paul, every day of our lives. Either externally or internally. We'll either do something, we'll lose our temper, or we'll have a bad thought. We will sin daily. And the only way you'll keep going and growing is by the grace of God. And the law and grace are mutually exclusive. Well, Jack, why did God give the law? God gave the law to bring you to salvation, to bring you to faith. Listen to this carefully. We are either receiving God's goodness and grace in our lives, or we're running around trying to patch and glue together the broken Ten Commandments. Remember when Jesus died on the cross, the veil was torn from the top to the bottom? Why? The way was opened up by His sacrifice. And a lot of people get the ladder and they try to sew the veil back up, trying to work their way. The law was designed to bring you to Christ and say, this law's killing me. I need you, Jesus, save me. And He says, all right. The law could never save us. It was never intended to save.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Compromise or Just Being Wise. Thanks for listening. And Paul used his freedom in Christ to become a servant to all. It wasn't a compromise, but a wise decision so that more might be won over to the faith. Compromise or Just Being Wise? It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Here's an event that we'd like you to save the date for. Our very own Pastor Jack is going to be speaking at the annual 2019 Proximity Conference on Awaiting His Return. The conference will be held on January the 5th from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. at Calvary Church, Santa Ana. That's in Santa Ana, California. And it's hosted by Calvary Chapel of Tustin. Now, Pastor Jack, as you might already know, is not only the founder and senior pastor of Calvary Chapel Chino Hills here in Southern California, but his teachings are heard globally, including Europe, the Middle East, Africa, Australia, and throughout the Hawaiian Islands. His passion and the subject of many of his teachings is on what the Bible has to say about the end times, which is what this conference is all about. And joining Pastor Jack will be his good friend Amir Safati. Amir was born in Israel, achieved the rank of major in the Israeli Defense Force. He's also one of the best tour guides in that region. Take it from me, I've been with him. And he's a fabulous speaker. Now, in 2001, he became the founder and president of Behold Israel. That's an organization that provides worldwide, real-time access to news and information about Israel from within the powerful context of Bible history and prophecy. So, don't forget to register for this powerful and very informative event on awaiting the Lord's return, and, of course, the current events that surround biblical prophecy. It all happens January 5th. You can register online at cctustin.org. That's cctustin.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. If you'd like to donate, you can do so at Real Life with Jack Hibbs on the app, or just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. By the way, have you missed any episodes? You can catch up with past episodes or just ones you've missed with the Real Life app. Check your app store for the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Also, the address, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.